1-800-522-4721 or toll-free 877-443-1230. Now, the people speak.
Good morning. I'm Jeff, and again, this is The People Speak, as he said. Going to be talking this morning with Richard Blakely, who has joined us again from the DuQuoin State Fairgrounds. The DuQuoin State Fair going on this year. I believe they're celebrating 100 years. And Richard, what have we got going on over there?
Hello, everyone. I'm Richard Blakely. Welcome to The People Speaks. And I'm here with Lori Lambert, and she is... What's your official title, Lori? What's Wise for Clydesdales?
Clydesdale Handler.
Handler, okay. Now, what do you handle the horses?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. They're a little bigger than you, a little bigger than me. I mean, there's some big horses over there.
Yeah, they are quite large. They're about 2,000 pounds. And then our smallest guys they stand 18 hands high, which is about 6 feet at the shoulder. So they are quite large.
And I know what a hand is. It's 4 inches. So.
It is, yes.
So, because I've been around a team of Belgian horses that we showed, my father showed. So I've been around it a little bit. But it's been 60 years, probably 55 years. So anyway, tell us a little bit about the Clydesdales. How did they come about? How did they get started? What was the start of the original team of horses?
Yeah, so the original team was actually a team of six. And they were given as a gift after the repeal of Prohibition in 1933 from August Bush Jr. to his dad, August Bush Sr. And he kind of fooled him a little bit. He told him to come outside and check out the brand new car he had just bought. And I think the dad was a little mad, but he walked out and saw a 6-horse hitch of Budweiser Clydesdales, and he thought that they were just spectacular. And he's like, we've got to share this with the country. So they actually sent them up to the White House to deliver the first case of beer after Prohibition. And the public loved them so much that they're still here today.
It is amazing how this team has became a symbol of a product.
Yeah, absolutely. And they kind of embody the American spirit as well.
It does. It shows what is going on with America. And it takes it from what it was in 1930-something when Prohibition was released. Continues that tradition.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody always loves the Clydesdales. It's something that generations can kind of pass down. People bring out their kids. We have people that are bringing out their kids that remember seeing them as a kid, and they're always really cool to see. Our biggest comment is just people cannot believe how big they are in person.
You're right. You see those horses in person. You know, again, I was around a team of Belgium. So they were about 17 hands high, weighed about 2,000 pounds. So I've been around a team like that. So it is amazing, though. And what all do you do with them? I mean, you're here at DuQuoin at the parade. Why else do you go? Where else do you take them?
So we take our horses all across the country. We are what is considered the St. Louis hitch, the Midwest hitch. We're based out of the middle of the country, and then we also have an East Coast hitch as well and a West Coast. But we can bounce back and forth both sides of the country if one of the other teams is up somewhere too high or down too low where they can't cover something. So we can do just about any event anywhere. Not too long ago, we were in Wyoming, and now we're all the way back in Illinois, so a little bit closer to home.
A little bit closer to home. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about you. You told me you were from Alabama.
Yes, sir.
And whereabouts in Alabama?
Way down on the Florida line. It's a little town called Fulmington, Alabama, so quite a ways from here.
Quite a ways from here. I asked you if he's a Roll Tide fan. You said, no, I went to Auburn, and you're a Tiger.
That's right.
So how did you get started with the Clydesdales? What was your steps going to that organization?
Well, I was always a big horse person growing up. My father was a little confused. He was a car guy. So I went to Auburn. I was originally pre-vet, and I actually went to see one of the Clydesdale hitches. They were down near my hometown, and I met one of the handlers, and I said, that's what I want to do with my life. So I kind of career changed a little bit, and I started applying to jobs for them. So I'm an animal science major. and I started out at their breeding farm. I was there for about 2.5 years before I moved to the traveling team.
So you have your degree in animal science?
Yes, sir.
That is amazing. Do all the handlers have degrees now?
No, they don't all have degrees. They like some kind of animal experience, but we all kind of bring our own mix. There's a couple of us that have animal science degrees. There's a couple of us that grew up with draft horses. So any kind of horse experience, as long as you can bring something to the table, is works for us.
Now, what have you been doing here at Good Point?
So we have been showing almost every day at 6 p.m. So we harness all 8 horses up, we hook them to the wagon, and then we make a lap around the fairgrounds and let the crowd see us.
And I imagine if people are just amazed how big, as you said, how large those horses are.
Yeah, no.
And they're pretty gentle.
Yes, absolutely. They are called gentle giants for a reason.
What else? Now, where else are you going? So you're going to Ohio after this. What else? Where else would you be going yet this year?
We're in Lima, Ohio for a week. Then we actually head home. We're doing, Arnold Days. And then after that, we hit, I think, somewhere in Kansas. We're somewhere lower in Missouri. And then we do go back to Ohio. I'm not sure exactly where in Ohio. And then we head home end of the month, and we're going to be kind of hanging out to see if the Cardinals make playoffs. Because if the Cardinals make playoffs, we have to be on go to make a lap around Busch Stadium.
You have to be there for that.
We have to, yeah. That's required.
That's required work for the horses.
Correct.
Now, do the horses do any work at all? I know we always would hitch our team up and haul a load or two of hay just to keep them, either get them used again to, you know, pulling a wagon, pulling something. Do you do that with this team, with these teams?
So they don't plow any fields or anything
that.
But we do actually travel with a weighted sled. So it's a little heavier, but we'll only hook 2 of them up at a time. And then, like, 2 of us will stand on it. So it's actually heavier for them to pull in pairs than our actual Budweiser wagon, because it's not on wheels. It's down on the ground. And we'll put it out in the dirt or somewhere like that. And they actually have to work for it a little bit. And we do try to do that a little bit with them. We've actually been driving them almost every day here in pairs.
So they're handled quite a bit. Have you had them down at the horse arena? I think I saw some pictures of them in the horse arena the other day.
Yeah, we've been turning them out occasionally when we have time. They've been doing a little bit of work in there, setting up for the rodeo and things like that. So whenever we've had a chance to give them a day off and let them turn out in the arena, we let them kick up their heels a little bit.
I imagine they like that.
They do enjoy it.
Now, how do they travel? I mean, I've seen the trailers they travel in. They don't travel in just an ordinary truck.
No, we have 3 semis that travel, and 2 of those are horse trailers. So the first trailer is a 4-horse. So it's going to carry 4 horses, and then it carries our portable stalls in the back. So if we get somewhere that doesn't have stalls for us, we will set those up. And then the trailer behind that is our 6-horse trailer. So 6 and 4, that's all 10 of our horses, and they are air ride equipped. So the guys don't even notice that they're driving down the road in them. It's kind of like being in their stall.
And then also you have another trailer that takes your wagons and all your other supplies, and you just don't have a wagon. It's a show wagon.
Yeah, it's about 7,000 pounds. It's, you know, that beautiful red, white, and brass Budweiser wagon, and then it actually is equipped, so it has it's been updated a little bit. It has a kegerator in the back that we can hook up to a generator and serve beer out of. Nice and cold, doesn't have to be hot or anything like that.
No, like the original wagon.
No, not like the original.
So, have you enjoyed your time here at Coin?
Yeah, no, this fair has been awesome. The crowds have been awesome. Everybody's been super welcoming. We've had fun.
And how do the fairs compare? We grew up at Springfield, the state fair up there. Have you been up to? You told me before that a lot of times the smaller events are a lot more popular where the horses are than in larger events.
Yeah, so we have done quite a few state fairs. I'm not sure if I personally have done this state fair, but I know I've done like Missouri's and Florida's and all that. A lot of the times, the days that we show at the smaller fairs, our crowds are larger than at a larger state fair.
So the smaller the event, the bigger
the crowd. That's right.
they get a chance to see that horse up in close. I mean, you can get a picture with them, possibly stand along the edge of the show, and really enjoy it.
Yeah, we stop. So we started about 6 from our barn, and then we'll go all the way over to the beer tent, and then we actually try to stop for about 10 minutes, as long as the horse flies aren't too bad. We got to keep the horses comfortable, but you can actually walk up within, 5 feet or so and take a picture with the horses. So they get pretty close.
A lot of people wouldn't want to get that close.
No.
But again, you call them gentle giants. I know they are. Again, the team that I was always around, they were just wanted to be petted and loved and handled, and they're used to that. That's they're accustomed to that kind of handling.
Yeah, they get hands on every day. When they are in the harness, we consider it working, and you can see that they're actually wearing blinders, so they can't see the people along beside them, and we're more worried that they're actually accidentally gonna hit them with their head because they're trying to look around. But they are very gentle. So if they could see what was going on and we weren't so worried about equipment, we probably wouldn't worry so much about people petting them, but they do enjoy the attention.
Well, I'm sure they do. I mean, the way you handle them, they're accustomed to that, and that's something that they probably enjoy.
Yes, absolutely.
So you say you're going to Ohio for a week out there. What's your show out there?
So we actually would be doing a couple one horses there, which is actually where we only have one horse at a time and people get to come up and take pictures of them. I know we are doing a parade. I'm going to be honest, I have not had a chance to look at the schedule. We've been so busy. I wish I could tell you what we were doing.
But you have to be in St. Louis by the end of the month.
We do have to be in St. Louis for the Cardinals. I do know that for a fact.
Are you a Cardinal fan?
I am, yes.
Oh, good for you.
It's hard not to be when we do the Cardinals every year.
Oh, yeah. I said, so you've been there on opening day.
Yes, I've done, I believe, 3 opening days now. I did my first year, and then the year after that was actually COVID. So we didn't get to do opening day for that, but I've done 3. For the Cardinals.
Oh, that's good. So enjoy your time, and thank you for a few minutes this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And again, the parade starts at 6 at the barn and goes all the way around the fairgrounds.
Yep. We actually will start braiding the horses at about 4:30. So if you want to see that, you can kind of see us in the barn there. We'll have them cross-eyed braiding horses. And then about 5:30, at 5:30, we'll start harnessing them up. You can actually see us pulling the equipment out of the wagon. Out of the trailer there, and then hooking them to the wagon.
It's been so long since I've harnessed a horse, I don't think I could anymore.
Well, you can come see us.
I got a football game to run.
Oh, no.
So, anyway, I thank you for your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And appreciate it very much.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Let's send back to the studios, Jeff. Back to you for a moment. We'll be back with more of the People Speak, and we have more horsepower coming up in just a few minutes.
And welcome back. You're listening to The People Speak. We will send it back over to Richard at the Des Moines State Fair. Richard?
Thank you, Jeff. Welcome back. And we have more horsepower we're talking about now. We go from real horsepower in the Clydesdales to motor horsepower with one of the drivers, Shane Cochran, that's going to be driving in the Silver Crown race tomorrow night, weather permitting, here at Des Moines. Shane, welcome.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. Yeah, certainly a little bit different from your last interviewee. The horsepower is just a different type. Can be just as temperamental sometimes. So
it is. You won the race here about 4 years ago?
2014 and 15, back-to-back. And, I think moving through the years from about 13 on, I think I've got an average finish of like 2.6. So when we don't win it, we're right there in the hunt for it.
And it's always fun to watch this race. Now that they have it under the lights on the night, it is just so great out there watching the race.
Yeah, it really was a game changer. State of Illinois supported the track and put in some nice lighting. And, those days of Labor Day sitting there sweating in 110-degree heat are over. And, so it's a nice night. The weather is always good. And, it's a great time to bring out the family and enjoy it.
First off, how did you get into racing?
Well, like a lot of things, you kind of come by it naturally or through your lineage. And my father was a professional race car driver. And so, kind of lived, still had a full-time job, but raced full-time also. So, growing up, I didn't know anything but to be busy and to I'm the fire chief in the city of Benton, Illinois, as well as a full-time race car driver.
I didn't know that.
So it makes for a busy week and then a busy weekend most days.
Now, are you running full-time this year in the Silvercross Series?
Yeah, I am. Some of the pavement races, obviously, haven't been able to take care of, but I've been running a sprint car and then for another team in the Extreme Outlaw Series, and we're leading the national championship right now in that deal and got about four races to go. So just trying to balance those races and the USAC Silver Crown races at the same time.
And where have you run this year?
As far as the Silver Crown division, which we'll see out here on Saturday night, we started out Port Royal, Pennsylvania here this year. We've been to Terre Haute. And then, of course, we were scheduled to be in Springfield at the Illinois State Fair here 2 weeks ago and got rained out. But fortunately, there is a reschedule, and so the middle of October, like October 15th, we'll be at Springfield to complete the 2 mile tracks, which are some really only 2, maybe 3 mile tracks left in America, which at one time were such a huge part of motorsports history in our country.
You know, and I was looking back through the history of the Duquoin Fair and when motorsports started here. The first year they had motorsports here, there were supposed to be 2 races, one in the spring and one in the fall at the fair, one earlier in the summer. And the summer race was rained out. So it just happens. But anyway, it's nice to see these dirt tracks still survive. And these dirt tracks have a history. Here at Duquoin, I mean, you were talking before we started on the air. I have seen A.J. Foyt, Roger Ward, Bobby and Al Unser, Mario Andretti all drive here. You go on down the line, Jeff Gordon drove on this track. Kyle Larson driving NASCAR today, last year's NASCAR Cup winner, champion. He drove on this track 2 or 3 years in a row. There's been so many, J.J. Yearley, Kenny Schrader. You just keep naming names that have been national names in motorsports that have been here at Duquoin at one time or another.
Yeah, you bet. I think a lot of people in our area, you know, we get used to seeing the place and don't think much about it. But, you know, the Duquoin State Fairgrounds and the 1 mile dirt oval is a very important place in the history of motorsports in America and honestly in the world. And, you know, all the greats, whether they are considered the greats of our states or in the world, A.J. Foyt's and, you know, which is arguably maybe one of the best race car drivers to ever live. Duquoin was the site of his first national win. And, you know, a lot of the greats, the Jeff Gordons and, you know, a lot of them people, we've had F1 drivers out here. And so, you know, it's a huge part of history, not for only for Southern Illinois, but, you know, for the United States of America. And so, you know, it's a cool place when you roll in the gates, you roll onto the racetrack, you know, there's an aura around it. You just know that you're someplace special.
You know, and something that I miss here that they had here for 2 or 3 years was the Lincoln Truck Series races. They don't have them here anymore. I miss them. They were fun to watch too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they've brought in a few different types of events and series over the years. And you know, if I've got one complaint, it's that we don't use this facility enough.
Oh, that's true. That is very true. I feel the same way. Being a Southern Illinois person that sees this track and sees these facilities staying empty 95% of the year, you want to see more done here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're working on some things. A good buddy of mine, Brad Baker, Brad the Bullet Baker, he's an AMA flat track racer, was. He unfortunately was involved in a X Games incident that left him, paralyzed. But me and him have got together, and I believe, you know, moving forward, we're going to look at promoting maybe some races here and doing some things. And so we're going to try to do our part to bring some more racing to Southern Illinois.
Let's talk a little bit about Saturday night. I saw a pretty good list of drivers going to be here for Saturday night.
I think we're up to 43 this year, which is the most we've had since the early 2000s. And there's not too many slouches either. So, you know, I think there's 3 of us that are going to go for our third Ted Horn 100 win, which, you know, the only other person I believe is A.J. Foyt. Myself, Brian Tyler, and Cody Swanson, who's the current point leader and all-time leading winner of Silver Crown events. Certainly it's a tough crowd but everybody's probably doing last minute prep, and our 3 teams are probably working harder than the rest of them because we know what's on the line.
You guys have done this, and until people have seen the races, they don't understand this is a competitive race. Now I'm going to go back again, talk a little bit about these cars that you drive today. how much different are they than the dirt roadsters that used to run here for USAC and Foyt, Unster, Andretti, all those drove at that time? What's the difference in the two cars? They look a lot. They look an awful lot alike just looking at them.
Yeah, surprisingly, not much. As I say, it's these race cars are 50, 60, 80 years of work unimpeded by progress. A lot of these designs were come from the World War II and Ford after the war and the effort that they put in when they got back to our country. And other than roll cage, some safety advancements, we're pretty close to the same thing. They look a little different. We've got more aerodynamics and, certainly technology has advanced. Our speeds are probably quite a bit, faster, but you'd be surprised the lap times aren't that much different.
That's right. Let's take a final break. I think we're running a little long in this segment. Back here with more. You're listening to The People Speak. I'm Richard Blakely. Jeff, back to you at the studios.
And got a few minutes left here in the program. Going to send it back over to the DuQuoin State Fair and Richard Blakely.
Welcome back, everyone. And Shane, what else is going on here tonight or tomorrow night? Give us a little bit of an idea of what they expect and when their gates open and all that.
Yeah, so, we'd love to see as many people, families out as we can. And, you're not going to be disappointed. It's a thrill show in a lot of ways. So I think driver's meeting is about 4:30, which don't have much to do with the fan crowd. But 5 o'clock is practice for about an hour. At 6:15, we'll do qualifying, which is a pretty exciting time. There's a lot of excitement builds. And then 7:15, what's called the hooligan, which is the last chance race for those cars that weren't quite fast enough to get in on their qualifying time. And the big show starts at 8:15. So you'll definitely want to be there at 8:15 for sure. And it's a 100-mile race, 100 laps, and you'll be throwing sparks off the wall. You never know what you'll see.
And people think a 100-mile race is going to take a while. About an hour and 5 minutes, hour and 10 minutes, that's the race. I mean, it's lap. When you're running at speed, 32, 33 second laps.
160 mile an hour down each straightaway. It don't take long to make 100 laps.
No, it doesn't. I've never been that fast, but I know about 32, 33 seconds is an average lap during the race, right?
Yeah, that's honestly probably a little slow right now. I think we're in last year, year four, we're about 30.8, 31. Yeah. So, fast time is about 128 mile an hour average lap at just under 30 seconds. So they're getting faster.
Getting faster. Now, the people help you out, some of your sponsors?
Yeah, the big one is Ben's Lawn Service. Ben's got a good presence over here at the fair this year, and with the Hustler Mower crowd, and Hustler's been a big supporter of us. And, they've helped us out, helped the track out, and really, a big part of the fair, keeping the fair exciting and having things to do. So, can't thank those guys enough. They've been excellent for us.
So we're going to wrap it up here, Jeff, and send it back to you, studios. Come out and see the races. SilverCon race Saturday night, the ARCA race Sunday night. Is Kenny Schroeder going to drive? I know he's driving in the modifies. Is he going to drive anything else?
I don't think he's going to drive anything else, but he'll be there, and his presence will, and he texts me all week, and so he's my biggest fan. I'm sure if I'm going to win, I'd like everybody down the front straight for a big picture, and I know Kenny will be there. He was there giving me a hug on the last one. So
I know. I said he's been a staple at this fair for a long time on the motorsports.
You bet. He's one of the legends of our sport.
And he's been a tremendous success at it.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. I've learned a lot from him, and he took a great liking to me. As a matter of fact, he owns that first A.J. Foyt win, 1960, here. He owns the trophy from that. I keep trying to get from him. So,
Shane, thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Jeff, back to you.
And thank you, Richard. Richard Blakely from the DuQuoin State Fair here for People Speak this morning. That'll wrap things up. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.